This morning, I'm going to be preaching on St. Peter and talking a little bit about the rooster of reminder of the fact that he had to come to grips with the fact that in his humanity he denied Jesus three times. But yet Jesus comes to him and reinstates him. You know, many of us sometimes, there's been a period in our lives when we haven't been walking with the Lord, we're discouraged, backslidden, whatever condition it might be. And sometimes we've done some things that we don't think that God would ever even receive us back. But you know what? I got good news for you. He is willing to. In fact, the prodigal son, it tells us there that God runs to those who turn to come back to him. A scripture to kind of set the stage for kind of maybe what was going on in Peter's thought life after the Easter Sunday. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose his life will save it. What good is there for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Father, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with all the holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come in power. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that now you are acceptable. We come to you, Father, through the Son. And this morning, Lord, we have praised you and worshiped you in song. And now, Father, teach us in your gospel word. Teach us, Lord, of the value that we are and how that you want to use us. Put aside our weaknesses. Father, put aside mine. And give me your thoughts and your words, Lord, that would encourage, would comfort, would exhort, and would edify all these here. Forgive me my sins, Lord. Hear these prayers, and we commit this service to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The paradox of that passage of Scripture, if you want to save your life, then you lose your life. In a sense, it's kind of your old self and the priorities that you have. If you'll give them to Jesus, giving him full control, then all of a sudden you find your life. You find the happiness and the joy of seeing him not only change your life, but use you and your witness to change other people's lives. Think about the situation with Peter. He had confessed that Jesus Christ was the Lord, that he was the Messiah, and that through him would be life. And Jesus asked him, "Are you going to leave me at one time?" And he said, "No, only you, Jesus, have the words of life. Where else can I go?" And if you've tasted Jesus and you felt his presence in your life and you get discouraged, where else can you go? Peter, in his kind of pridefulness and boldness, he said, "Lord, I'll not forsake you. I'll not run away. If I have to, I'll go to prison with you and I'll die with you." And at that point, Jesus looked at him and said, of course, the prophecy was all of his disciples would be scattered and run away. So there's no way Peter could do that. And he said, "You know, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows." And you know, you think about that in Traverse City, in Interlochen and Kingsley, there's not that many places you hear that rooster crow in the mornings. But out in the country, when I grew up, we did have chickens, and many of the farmers around there, every morning that rooster would crow. And you think about Peter. That Easter morning, the rooster crowed too. Every day of his life, most of the places he was traveling, since they kept their chickens because there's no refrigeration to have frozen ones, you know, and thaw them out and cook them, they were alive and they're around. And I think that the rest of the days of his life, he woke up in the mornings with the reminder, oh, Jesus loved me, yet I denied him three times. Even when the ladies came Easter morning and said, well, he's risen, he ran to the tomb and he looked in there and he could. John came and looked and went in and he believed, it says. But Peter was still wondering and worrying. And then the Bible says he appeared, as we preached last week, to Peter. We don't know about any kind of discourse or conversation. You ever thought about that when, God, you've done something, you know, and then when the one in authority comes and doesn't really talk to you, what's going on? Am I beyond forgiveness now because I denied the Jesus? And he's sent up back to Galilee and says, you guys wait there. All the disciples went. And I'll join you later, Jesus told him. So he gets up there and he's kind of thinking, what is my position in the Church of Jesus Christ now? So he tells his disciples, let's go fishing. I mean, you know, that's when he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, the boat was empty. They caught nothing. And then when Jesus stood on the shore, he says, throw your nets on the right side of the boat. And they caught so much fish, it almost sunk the boat and the nets were ripping. And then he asked Peter to leave all this and come follow me. Be fishers of men, he said. You know, I was thinking about that. So many times people, when their nets are empty, when they're not doing good financially or whatever, they come to the Lord and, you know, he meets them there. But, you know, he called these guys to a special service, to be ministers. And I think sometimes I look at my life, it seemed like the real call didn't come till I was making pretty darn good money, you know. And whatever the circumstances happened, he said, leave that boat full of fish and come follow me and be fishers of men. It's easy to leave an empty boat, but when whatever kind of work you're doing is really supplying a lot of money, but he called you to a higher purpose. And Peter left. And now he's back again. The boat's empty. They caught nothing. They fished all night. And then old John says, hey, there's Jesus on the shore. So Peter, he jumped out of the boat and he grabbed his robes and he covered himself up and he come running up there and it was Jesus. And he says, you catch anything? No, we fished all night again, Lord. Nothing. Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. And they caught 153. Some people say, well, maybe that's a number of nations that are in the world when Jesus will come back. I don't know what that number, but it was significant. And the nets didn't tear. There's enough people out there to support this church and every other church. There's so many people that are sinners and need the Lord that we look on the field and it's white unto harvest, especially in the economic turndown of this times. And we have the answer. It's Jesus. It's the same one that all of a sudden appeared there in that locked room in front of the disciples and Peter. And all of a sudden now he's on the shore and he said, bring some of them fish. I already got a coal of fires. I'm already cooking breakfast for you guys. I don't know where they came from. It's like, he is God. Could he have snapped his fingers and they all jumped there and started cooking, you know? Then finally, all of a sudden, in this picture, Peter comes forward and Jesus, maybe this is the first time he actually spoke to him and called him by name. He's been kind of letting it cook in his brain. Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to send you to your room, son. And I want you to think about this. Well, Jesus didn't really say that, the scripture said, but I kind of wonder if maybe Jesus was kind of quiet with Peter, letting all that he experienced, the miracles, the raising of the dead, the phenomenal teachings. Then finally, Jesus comes to talk to him and deal with what's going on in Peter's heart. I got to tell you, we need to be humbled. And I think Peter was humbled. But we have to learn what happened in the next passage of Scriptures. If you will turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21, verse 45. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned, and he saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" And then Peter saw him and he asked, "Lord, what about?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And of course, this is written by John. John is talking about himself, the one that Jesus loved. So Peter's been recommissioned to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep. Then he turns around and looks back and he wants to know, what about him? And Jesus says, "Peter, don't worry about him. You keep your eyes on me and you follow me." We have a tendency, you know, when I used to go to pastor meetings and stuff, you know, and you hear about the pastors get together and they kind of brag about so many baptisms or whatever's going on in their church, you know, and you go, And you start to think about, well, how come the Lord isn't blessing me? And you start looking back kind of like Peter. What about him? Just follow me. And I think that's a message that the Lord gives to each one of us. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about pointing out somebody's weaknesses or something. Don't gossip. Just follow Jesus. Now, in this dialogue, there's a play of words on the word love. Jesus says, "Peter, son of John, do you truly agapeo me?" And of course, the agapeo is the Greek word that we have translated the King James charity. It is the love of God, unconditional love, sacrificial love. And when Jesus was teaching about that earlier on, he was talking about the love of God is one that sacrifices. Then he had just went through that when he went to the cross. That's a big picture of what agape love is all about. So he asked Peter, "Do you love me with the love of God?" And Peter's hurt and he's thinking and he's saying, "Lord, you know that I phileo you," which is like the brotherly love, the kind of love that you would have in a fraternal kind of manner. It's not replying. In fact, Jesus knew that who he was, where he had come from, and he knew at this particular point in his life that he could not love with that kind of love. You have to receive that. It has to be burned in you through the Holy Spirit. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. You know, I was don't know if any of you guys have ever seen the TV show. It's Undercover Boss. And the undercover boss is the CEO of a corporation, a big corporation, puts a disguise on, goes to some of his factories, or and one time they went to the fields where they're harvesting lettuce and all different things, and he is hired in, and he works next to some of the people who are subordinates. And he asks them questions, and he works right with them. Sometimes he does real well. Sometimes he talks to them about some ideas. He just listens. And it's interesting how we take a look at that, and it reminds me so much of Jesus. That he came here taking on the flesh of rags, so to speak, and he watched, he listened to all the people who were part of his kingdom, or were going to be. And then finally, he came out to start revealing who he was. 3 years. And I think Peter, he got kind of the idea, but then at this point, it's like at the end of the show, the guy goes and he takes off his mustache and he shaves and he dresses like he was when he's in his office, you know. And he calls all these people he had encounters before him. And they don't know. Some of them are really kind of shaken. God, what has the CEO got me coming here for? And some of them he gives real commendations, and he listens to them talk about their family and gives them money so they can go on vacation with their kid that's handicapped or whatever it might be. And it kind of reminds me what it was like here. After they landed on the shore and all the fish, when Jesus turned to address Peter, all of a sudden the undercover boss, the CEO of heaven, starts probing him about his performance. Do you agapeo me more than all of these? Oh, yeah, I do. And he listens. And he begins to think a little bit. But what about the rooster? What about those three denials? And Peter was hurt just because he asked him three times, do you love me? That's not a coincidence, I don't think. And that's a reminder that would burn in Peter's heart the rest of his life. The Lord asked me three times, do you really love me? Has he asked you that? When you have a failure to pray, have a failure to witness. You know, it's easy when you go to church and you're around church people, magnify the Lord, we just love him so. But then when you're out there and you're amongst people that are not Christians, boy, it's a lot tougher. And also it takes wisdom to know right when, to be able to share Jesus. Are you ashamed of Jesus? I have been at times, kind of, you know, because I didn't have the boldness to speak up. Peter was either fearful or ashamed of Jesus. He just said, I'll go to prison with you, I'll die with you. And then all of a sudden he's out there in the courtyard after his arrest and they're asking him, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. Well, then, you know, the third time come around, all of a sudden the Lord looked right at Peter after he said that. Third time he denied him, looked right at him and said Peter had to go outside and he wept bitterly. So now, for him to be used by God, he had to be broken completely. And I think that was a process that took place in these week or long period of time after the resurrection. And then he says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself, went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And you know, this was all to tell Peter that yes, he would pick up the cross. He would pick up the cross of service, and then later on he actually would go to the cross like Jesus. Now, I don't know if there's any in here that's going to face that kind of rejection and persecution, but it happened over and over in the early church. And it did nothing except help the Christianity to spread. Traditions reports the death of the apostles with other followers. Matthew suffered martyrdom by the sword in Ethiopia. Mark died at Alexandria after being dragged through the streets of that city. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. John was put into a cauldron of boiling oil, but escaped death and was banished to Patmos. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward. James was beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple and beaten to death below. Philip was hanged against a pillar in Phrygia. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew was bound to a cross, whence he preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was run through the body at Kalamandal, India. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned, then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death by Jews at Salonica. Paul was beheaded in Rome by Nero. And it goes on of believers that were put to death by their faith. Recently, as I've kind of grown and befriended and ministered to older people, I had to be there praying with them and praying with their children. They made that decision to put them in assisted living in adult foster care. And I know that's difficult for a non-Christian, but even a Christian. You think, why, Lord? But this scripture reminds me of that so much. That when we were young, we just dressed ourselves, went wherever we wanted to. But there's a time coming, as I'm 61, as I get older, that you got to think about that. That I'm going to be unable sometime to be able to dress myself and then be taken where we don't really want to go. But you know what the message to Christians are as they age and they face that possible reality? Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Oh, I wish you knew Mary Bender. She's such a sweet, sweet Christian lady. She's got to be about 86 or 87 now. And she had to enter assisted living because her husband got Alzheimer's. And while she's there, she's still a Christian. She's still ministering to the people there. And showing the love of Jesus in every word, action, even in her frailty and her weakness. The message is, no matter where you're at, God is calling you back. He's calling you to serve. He's calling you to experience His love. And to a point when you all of a sudden say, I know more about you, Jesus, now I phileo you, you're my friend, to where you can agape him, to love him back with the love that he gives you through the cross and the works that he did. Rick Warren, author of Purpose Driven Church, Purpose Driven Life, he has one word in the beginning of the book. It's not about you. Our service, remember that? Many of you probably have studied that. And really, that's what Jesus is saying to old Peter. It's not about you, Peter. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's interesting that his main concern was, I heard Jesus, as I read in Mark's gospel there in 9 verse 1, that He said, there are some standing here that will not see death before they see the glory of the coming of the Lord. Well, guess what? Every one of them are dead. Jesus didn't come back. But John, he wrote the book of Revelations. And did he see it? You bet he saw it. It may not have been in physical, but in spiritual. He saw the glory of the Lord coming back. I've studied through the Bible trying to find contradictions. Guess what? Couldn't. Now let's just take a look at old Peter after this event. We know in Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Didymos, the dynamite power of the Spirit came down upon those. And tongues of fire cloven upon them. And all of a sudden, they changed. Peter, who was scared out there trying to warm himself by the fire on the night of Jesus' arrest. All of a sudden, he's denying him three times. Then all of a sudden, after Jesus challenged him three times, "Do you love me?" the Holy Spirit comes on him. And then all of a sudden, he goes out there and he preaches the truth of the gospel. It's like a different guy. And 3,000 people come to the Lord and they're baptized. Whoa, what a revival. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says that after they got in trouble for doing this, finally they got arrested and they took him to Sanhedrin. Those are the same ones that said, "Jesus must die." And they listened to him and they saw the miracles that God was doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says, "And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Hey, no seminary, no Bible college. What happened to them? It was through they were with Jesus and now Jesus was in them. And they said, "Okay, let's give them a little licking and get out of here and tell them not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore." Of course, that didn't anything except fire the fuel. It's working. All of a sudden, Peter realized it's working. And then we go on to see the leadership of Peter. And you know something? He was so concerned about John stepping forward and taking over. That wasn't God's plan all along. Peter was to be the leader of the church. It's not that God made him the pope, but he was the leader of the church. Even in his weakness, even empowered with the Holy Spirit, he still had some old problems. We know he had difficulty accepting Gentiles. And it's kind of ingrained in him. God understood it. So he said, "Hey, Paul." We'll call Paul. He was the one that had been to seminary. And he's the least likely of the one to speak for the Gentiles, but that's what God used him for. You know, Peter finally, he's seen this big blanket come down with all the different animals which were unclean, and God gave him that vision that it's okay for Gentiles to eat unclean or whatever, you know. Don't be so legalistic. But then there was a time when, you know, God realized that Paul took the lead to reach out to us Gentiles. And, you know, I kind of think about the three denials and the three requests to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep, take care of them and all that. It just happens to be that Peter, we know, wrote the epistle or the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and there's many theologians believe that he dictated the Gospel of Mark. Isn't that interesting? Three different writings, you know, my assumption is true. Three denials, three questions, three ventures of writing to teach. And then the transformation of love. Remember, it was a Philadelphia guy, you know, the fraternal guy, the guy who had brotherly love back to Jesus when he was questioned. And finally Jesus said, "Okay, I phileo you," you know. We turn to one of his books, 1 Peter chapter 1. And he's writing to the churches. And listen to what he says in verse 8. And this speaks directly to me and you. And you. He says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him." And the word love here is agapeo. You agapeo Jesus, even though you haven't seen him. And even though you do not see him, now you believe in him, are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. What a transformation of the Philadelphia guy to one who's the love of God guy. And then he wants to spread this call to feed sheep, to take care of the lambs, to feed them. So in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter, he gives this instruction to the church. It says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So he realized in that third admonition is, it's not just do it all yourself, but train others to be shepherds and feed the flock and take care of the flock. And really, that's what church is all about. Ephesians chapter 4:11, where Paul gives his writing, it is he that gave gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, teachers, for equipping the church to do the work of the ministries. Peter got the message. And you know, I know at times that when we closed Green Lake Baptist Church and it ceased to be, I went through a period kind of like Peter. But I still knew that God wanted to use me. And we searched at different churches, and I ended up here because it's my denomination. And I never looked at ever being up here very much and preaching or anything like that. But God seemed to open a door. And I want to be faithful in what God wants me to do, because I agape you, Jesus, and I agape my brothers and sisters, you know, and it's kind of like we get this thing of denominations too sometimes that want to separate us. And I got to the fact of having relationship with people from other denominations that those who believe and will confess Jesus with their mouth, believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, and there's no other way to God except through him, they are my brother and my sister. We might baptize differently or whatever, but still, it's through that confession. And I think that God has his hand upon you. I think God wants to use you in a certain way, and he knows you. He knows your gifts. And he has a place for you to serve here and now. And you know, without serving him, you're kind of like, what do? I guess I'll just go fishing some more. But yet, you know that God wants to use you to be a witness, to love other people with the love of God that is sacrificial and unconditional. And that's what Peter had to learn. But you know what? Jesus knew that he was limited until the power of the Holy Spirit came to him. And we have that available to us. Do you know if the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Have you had that baptism when you believed in the Holy Spirit? It makes all the difference in the world. Years ago, B.J. Thomas, after he experienced a new life in Christ, he sang a song. Oh, what a difference. What a difference you made in my life. I got to tell you, that song is one of the songs that discipled me. And because I found that, hey, if you haven't felt a difference since you have acknowledged Jesus as your Lord, then there's something wrong, because he's got all the differences out there, a flood, a multitude that he wants to give to us. Ask, and you shall receive. But it all starts with you and Jesus. You, unrighteous, sinful, him holy, but God the Father put your sin and the sin of all the world, and made him sin on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I believe, or 20. Isn't that amazing that how God could do that? And that's why God, on that Good Friday day, had to turn away, because his son had all the sin on him. And in agony, Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus is not a wimp. A pastor friend of mine, he pointed something out, and I agreed with him because I had a hard time with that. He was asking in a question, My God, why have you forsaken me? Guess what happened afterward? Earthquake. The veil of the temple is rent from the top to bottom. Graves are open and old people come to life, and Jesus is on the cross and God is showing him why he had to turn away so all of us could have an opportunity to seek God. The veil's gone. We can go directly to God and ask him for forgiveness and pray for things and adore him where before we had to go through the priest. And then the picture of the resurrection. All of us will see him face to face in our glorified flesh someday.